the House Finance Committee to order. The time is 1:40. With us today, we have Representative Holm, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, Co-Chairman Chenault, Vice Chairman Stoltz, Representative Hawker, Representative Weirach, Representative Jewell. On today's calendar, we have House Bill 1, which is increase the amount of base student allocation. The sponsor is Representative Gatto, who's with us. Also, we'll have House Bill 30, which is the appropriations bill for K-12 education. And I don't believe Representative Harris is here, but his chief of staff, Tom Wright, is here. It'll be my intent to have both these bills before us so that when you have your testimony today, you can talk to either or both bills. I mean, they go together, as you'll find out here as the sponsors introduce them. So why don't we get started there with the House Bill 1, which is the actual increase to the base student allocation. That's Representative Gatto. If you would please join us. And for the record, we now have Representative Kropp with us, too. So we have a full committee, except Representative Moses is excused. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have actually a committee substitute for House Bill 1 in the HES committee. The HES committee made a committee substitute from the committee that was passed out of the Education Committee. This is great because it's such an easy and straightforward bill. It just deals with numbers. And as you mentioned, we have HB 1, HB 30, and they're joined at the hip because one of them is the amount to increase the student-based allocation, and the other one is the appropriations to do just that. So whatever number is in effect for HB 1, then HB 30 responds by coming up with the correct appropriations. So I'll read from my prepared statement. This bill would increase the base student allocation by $343 to $4,919. This number represents increases from the HES and Education Committees. Under this legislation, the total increase this year would be $70,089,000. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm done.
You only think you're done. Any questions for Representative Gatto? Okay. Well, you are done for now then, Representative Gatto. You're welcome to take Representative Moses' seat and join us here.
Thank you, sir. And there are several people in the audience here who are certainly very capable about dealing with how these numbers are utilized. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Wright, if you would join us, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright, staff to Speaker John Harris. House Bill 30 basically is joined at the hip with House Bill 1. It's the appropriation bill that funds the foundation program and all the other programs associated with providing education to our children throughout the state. There is contingency language in the bill that states basically that the appropriations made in this bill are contingent upon the passage of a bill that increases the student base student allocation, and that's to at least I think I have the wrong total in here, 4919, which is the last total that was passed. And school bond debt reimbursement is also included in this bill, as is the funding for the Alaska Military Youth Academy that was proposed by the administration. That's the bill in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So I think what we'll do, we do have several people who have signed up both here in Juneau and on teleconference to testify. Since we do have so many people to testify, I don't keep a little clock up here, but I would ask that you try to keep your comments as succinct and brief as you can, and still make your point. That's the main thing. We want to hear your point and hear what you have to say. So let's start with Carl Rose, the Executive Director of Association of Alaska School Boards. And then Mike, I'm just going right off this list here that the clerk gave me. Mike Ford is the next one who's signed up. So for the record, if you would, tell us your name and who you're affiliated with.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Carl Willis, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. We'd like to lend our support to the committee substitute for House Bill 1, Hess, as well as the committee substitute for HB 30, Hess. I'd like to share with you that last November, when the governor spoke to my conference, the Association of Alaska School Boards, he first introduced his proposal for $62 million in 06, 38 of which would be for PERS and TERS, and 24 of which would be for operations and instruction. The corresponding 07 number was 39 for PERS and TERS and 25 for operation and instruction. We were very pleased to see that, and we appreciate the governor's initial proposal. It didn't take us long to run the numbers and determine that what in fact we were dealing with was would result in a shortfall. I've submitted written testimony and a few documents. I would be referring to two charts that I put out, one with the base student allocation from 1999 to 2007, as well as a proposed funding. So first of all, I'll talk about the present proposal by the governor for $62 million increase. If you look at the chart with the inclusion of PERS and TERS, in 05 we received $82 million, which was the benchmark for us, and in 06 we would be receiving $24 million instead of $46 million for operation. It's this document here, and it's in your file. As you know, we normally we're a formal organization. We resolve ourselves in November, and in November there was no ability to determine what a number would be for the base student allocation. We were contacted early in the session that they wanted to see a number because early funding for education was a critical issue. I was in Washington, D.C., and we had an audio conference on January 26th. On that audio conference, I invited the top five districts, the five largest districts, to help us determine what a number would be as we would move forward, as our reality on January 26th was $62 million was in fact the number put forth by the governor. I made a recommendation to them, and this is this sheet here, that this sheet describes that since 1999 under Senate Bill 36, moving forward to 2004, it was a relatively flat projection from the standpoint of the base student allocation. I'm using state base student allocations here. As a result of 04 and 05 is where the trend started for an increase, and I refer to that as an increased investment trend in public education. I recommended to the group that we take a look at a number that would maintain that trend through 06, and as the governor had proposed, 07 set an expectation, which was 54-25. We decided that we would try to alight on the number, and it was stated at that time we had members in that group that said that 499.5 would not meet the needs that they were currently facing, but they recognized the strategy for that continued trend line and agreed that this would be the number. It wasn't 2 or 3 days later after that meeting that we found that some of our school districts, Anchorage in particular, Kenai was another one, said that their needs exceeded this number and had a different number that they would be advocating. I sit here today to explain to you that AASB is resolved behind 49.95 as a matter of course. We believe that this is a floor number that is required that we need to have to be able to move forward on that projection trend line. We are hoping to set an expectation for 07, and we understand we can't bind, nor can you bind yourself. I've heard that before. But I would remind you, every time we sign on to a foundation, we pretty much bind future legislators as well. So I would ask you to consider the thinking that went into this. We were trying to exercise some responsibility to be appropriate in our request to be able to justify what it is that we're doing. And I have a whole bunch of more information, but I'm going to keep my comments brief. I do want to show you that our intent was to create a trend line of investment that's seriously needed if, in fact, we're going to meet the requirements of No Child Left Behind, to meet the adequate yearly progress requirements, meet our benchmarks and high-stakes qualifying exams. I'll cut my comments short. We support these bills. We understand their future committees of assignment, and we would ask an encouraged base of 49.95, and I believe you'll hear some comments today from people who have needs that exceed that. Mr. Chairman, I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Thank you, Mr. Rose, for your comments. I have one question. We kind of look at things, or we look at the numbers a little bit different, and we look at the amount of increase versus the governor has proposed 62, and I think the last committee has had it up to 70. So your number at 49.95, what is that, 85 million increase? Or
that is correct. Okay. The governor's number was 62. The current committee substitute is $70 million at 49.19. The request that we make for 49.95 is 85 million bucks.
Because I think your testimony was that you support this bill in front of us, but you would like to see it changed to new numbers.
Did I miss that point, Mr. Chairman?
I read between the lines. Thank you very much. Thank Any you. Questions for Mr. Rose? Seeing none, thank you for your coming out today. Okay, Mike Ford, Alaska Kids Count. Mike, I have a couple bills I'd like to have rewritten. Can you still
sure.
do that?
I'll take a while when I go away.
All right. Well, we miss not having you with our legal counsel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And for the record, my name is Mike Ford, and I'm here representing a parent group, Alaska Kids Count. We have over 400 members across the state, parents who are concerned about the public school system. I'd like to say first that we do appreciate what the governor has done, taking the first step to show that education deserves increased funding. We appreciate Representative Gatto's effort. We appreciate the Association of School Boards' effort, too, to show that schools are deserving of increased state funding. What we are proposing, however, is something greater, a greater investment that has been proposed, at least at this point in this committee. What we would like to see is the base student allocation increase to $5,120. And that translates into a $112 million increase in public school funding. We believe that if you don't do something to that degree, what you're going to do is leave schools in a position where they're not able to provide the kind of education that, in fact, they are required to provide under the laws of our state. Everyone wants to see the schools that we have improved. And the legislature has done a great job in translating certain requirements into law to make sure that that happens. We have an exit exam. We have accountability standards for teachers and for schools. But it's not fair for the legislature to create those things and also not provide the resources necessary to allow schools to meet those demands. We feel like, for example, in Juneau, where one of the things that we need to do is buy new textbooks. And the level of funding proposed by Representative Gatto, the level of funding proposed by the governor, or the School Board Association will not allow the district to replace those textbooks that need to be replaced. There is a whole list of critical unmet needs in Juneau and across the state that require a significant infusion of cash. And in order to achieve that, we believe that the funding level of $5,120 is required. I have a written proposal which we will submit to the committee that explains exactly where we feel the funding formula should be changed and in how much. And again, I know time is short, so with that, I'll any questions you have.
Okay, thank you, Mike. See no questions at this time. Thank you for testing.
You bet.
Okay, let's see. Mary Hakla. Hakla?
Hakla.
Hakla, okay.
Thank
also
you.
With Kids Court, and then Larry Scanlon. After Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mary Hakla. I'm here representing myself, my three children in the public school system here in Juneau, one in the elementary school, the charter school just down the street, one in the middle school, and one in the high school. So we're spanning all sectors, I guess, of the public school system. I'm also the coordinator of Alaska Kids Count. Again, we are a nonpartisan group. And as you look at the level of funding that you are willing to support for public education, we would encourage you to see it as a bipartisan effort, because children attend schools no matter what letter they might have behind their or before their parents' names, R or D or independent, libertarian, or not registered. I want to focus for just a minute on one of our primary concerns and what has driven us to ask for funding at $5,120. And that is class size. And it sounds like an abstraction, but I'd like to, why do we want class sizes reduced? You know, we as parents want our kids to get help when they need it. You know, every child gets stumped at some point. I was thinking back, I was remembering how I got stumped those math word problems. You know, velocity ones where your bicycle is going and a car is driving a certain speed and you've got to catch up to them. I remember being really stumped. Well, our class sizes were not large, and I had a teacher who could help me. Every child deserves that. As class sizes get bigger, it's harder for teachers to help that child when they get to those moments. And those are the teachable moments, before they get too frustrated. We want kids to be challenged. We want kids in the middle to be challenged, at the top to be challenged, and the kids who are really struggling. I have some, I'd also like to present on the issue of class size some information that
I think we have it.
Okay. This is from a high school teacher. She could not be here to testify, and so I told her I would present this to you. In the packet, you will find what's a rubric or a guide by which Carol, the teacher, evaluates her student papers. There are two student essays of an assignment affecting 99 juniors. Her class load is 157 students total. She teaches juniors and seniors. I hope you take a few moments to read the essays. Time yourselves. Multiply that by 99. This is one assignment. Then you start seeing what class sizes mean in a high school. It is formidable at best. How can a teacher really provide the instruction, the coaching, the encouragement to help those kids become proficient and good and excellent writers? So I hope you will take a few moments to look at that. And I hope you support our schools to make a meaningful difference in the classroom. As parents, that's what we're looking for. We understand it, the costs are huge. We didn't look for a PERS-TERS problem. We understand you're facing that. We want enough money to reach the classroom and make a difference to kids. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mary, for your testimony. See no questions. Thank you. Larry Scanlon. I'm sorry, Lori. I'm sorry, Lori.
Yeah.
See, I didn't have my glasses on.
She was here with you
me neither.
Last year.
Okay. Yes, that's right. You were with Youth Courts last year.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
And my apologies.
Accepted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lori Scandling. I am the principal this year and teacher at the alternative high school in Juneau. Its name is Yakusk Dakahiti, which is Tlingit for House of Knowledge. I work with more than 100 students who have already dropped out of high school. As you might know, 1 in 3 freshmen who start at JDHS do not graduate, and many of them come to my school, and many of them say, I couldn't get the help I needed in a large environment. First, I want to thank you for your public service. I think your job is probably a little bit like being an assistant principal. Every single person who comes to see you has a problem or wants money for whatever they're doing. So I understand that, and I can imagine over time it may be easy to become somewhat inured to the needs of the parade of the people who come before you. I want you to know I was born and raised in Alaska. I grew up in Anchorage. I graduated from high school in Fairbanks and started my college work there. I worked nearly 25 years in other jobs, in business, in government, and nonprofits before I became a teacher, so I came to that work with another perspective. And I can tell you, in my 13 years in education, I can't say I've ever seen an extra penny in a school. It is so exciting to come to a building where there's a person standing behind a coffee machine ready to help you with paper. I enjoy coming to the Capitol, but for me, it reminds me of the contrast between the institution I work in. We go for years without proper maintenance, years of huge class sizes, years without new textbooks, years and years and years and years of making do. And I know you've heard it before. I'm grateful that oil dollars have prompted our governor to propose an increment in education funding, but as you may have already heard, the net effect for our district and many others around the state is that it will still result in cuts. I am so passionate about the power of the diploma. I am compelled really to come here today to put a face on the consequences of underfunding. I have 9 computers and $15,000 to serve over 100 students for the whole year, and that includes any textbooks I want to buy, photocopy paper, the contract to keep the photocopy machine running, any software I want to buy for the 9 computers, paper clips. I have, that's what I have. I can do that, and I will do that. I'll continue to write grants. I'll chip in my own money. If you're a teacher or married to one, or you know teachers, you know we all do. We all chip in our own money, and I can do that. What I can't live with is not being able to help kids who want to graduate. I can't fit one more student, not one more, into our rented facility. And I can't live with the fact that more than 25 of these dropouts remain on the streets. I simply cannot serve them. I don't have the space. I don't have the staff. Our school district, thanks to parents and to the school board, put on our critical unfunded needs list money so I can rent a larger space. Without per pupil funding of about the 5,100 you've heard about from Kids Count, I will continue, I have to, leave dozens of applicants on the streets. Students who, for the most part, when I interview them, and I interview every single one before they're allowed to come into my school, say over and over again, I couldn't get the help I needed in a big class, in a big school. Some of them simply needed more help, and they wind up at my door. Every dollar matters. Every student matters. I invite you to visit our school. I am quite sincere about that, and so are the students. And I think you will find young people serious about their education, and I hope you are too. I did bring an invitation for you. I'll leave them. I'm embarrassed to admit I am dyslexic. I do have a learning disability, and I photocopied it backwards. But the message is sincere, and I do hope we are right down the street on 12th Street. Come up, and in 5 minutes, you will have a graphic representation of exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Laura. I got it right this time, I think.
Laura.
I'm not even dyslexic, so I don't have any excuse. Anyway, thank you very much for your testimony. For the record, too, we have Representative Thomas standing in the back there. Did you want to join us, sir? Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the Finance Committee. I'm going to put on my glasses. I'll still get it. Tatiana. I think I got that right. Sennhuber? Tatiana Sennhuber. And then Brianna after that.
It's Tatiana Sennhuber. It's Russian, so I understand.
Kakpazavut? What is that?
No. I'm not fluent in Russian, but I got the name.
That's all in Russian I do. Thank you for joining us.
For the record, my name is Tatiana Sinhuber. I'm a junior in high school. I attend Yaku Stakahiti. I'm of Alaska Native heritage. I'm actually an Inupiat Eskimo, and I moved here from Barrow, Alaska. I started my high school career in Barrow my freshman year and ended up moving to Juneau halfway through the year and attending Juneau Douglas High School. Immediately coming from Barrow High School, which is about the size of my graduating class here in Juneau, I was shocked by the size of the classrooms and all the kids and the chaos and the teachers, you know, being like, I can help you next week. So after about a year, I dropped out my sophomore year and decided to start doing correspondence, which didn't work. So I would like to make a point just to say that I guess it's to emphasize my personal feelings about my school and encouraging everybody who has any say in our funding for our schools that we are on the brink of graduating. We're about to become adults, and so many of us don't realize what a huge effect this is going to have on our lives. Our graduation is the breeding ground for what our lives will turn into. And Yaku's has changed my life. I don't think I would be getting a diploma if I wasn't attending this school. And the fact that so many kids are in that same place as I am, who just can't function in a large classroom with so many other kids, and they leave and we're out on the streets, as Lori said, there's an opportunity for us to get a second chance to go and get that diploma, work in smaller classrooms. But right now our classrooms are so small that we can't work. So it's a catch-22. It's like there's no win, there's no go. Where do we go? Do we go and get our GED? Do we not get those benefits to get to go and do what we want to do or what we can do, explore those areas? Or do we wait until we're 20 and we're out on our own? And then by then we can get into Yakus and finish our high school career. I would just really like to ask for your encouragement and support in giving kids this chance to succeed and feel good about themselves and get to the place that I know that we all can be. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Tatiana. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Thank you for, are you missing school to do this?
I am.
Well, that's fine. You gave an excellent presentation there. Hopefully your speech teacher will give you an A for that.
Lori.
Oh, Lori, you heard teacher? Okay. Brianna. Brianna Gunderson, looks like. Yeah, your school is easier.
Actually, Lori's my government teacher. So.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, I guess for the record, I've never spoken in front of you guys before, so I was kind of nervous. My name is Brianna Gunderson, and I too attend Yakus Dokahiti Alternative High School. And like I said, Lori Stanley is my teacher for government, so we're actually learning about what you guys do right now. So I'm here just to let you guys know about what's going on in my school and what I can tell you that I see and what happened to me and why I'm ended up at Yakus. Like Tatiana, I moved here, but I've been here for 4 years, so I've spent my entire high school career in Juneau. I first attended JDHS, like pretty much everyone else does, and I'm the type of learner where I have to have hands-on experience. It helps me to be able to learn if my teacher can come and sit next to me and say, all right, this is how we do it, if I don't get it. And if my teacher can say, all right, well, come in during your break and we'll take a minute to explain this to you. But when you have a class size of 35 students and you've got 10 of them that need help, you can't help all of them. And it's just impossible. No teacher can do it. So because of the lack of help from my teachers, I started to fall in my academics and I ended up I wouldn't have been able to graduate on time. And I would have had to spend an entire extra year at the high school. And I decided that I was going to go to college, so that's not going to work if I don't graduate on time. So my counselor at the high school recommended Yakus. And at Yakus, because the classes are smaller, you do get that hands-on experience, because you can come in during your lunchtime and say, Ms. Stanley, I need help. I don't understand what the House of Representatives do. So you can come in and ask, and she can say, all right, we'll sit down and talk about it. But again, with Yakus, our building is really small, so there are a whole bunch of kids who can't deal with the high school because there's so many people, so they drop out, and then you're stuck without anything. And we, like Ms. Scanling, I guess, said, we want to have more kids. We want to be able to help more kids and have smaller classes at the same time. But with the classrooms right now, I mean, in my class, we have kids who don't even sit, we don't sit at desks, we sit at tables. And there are kids who are not sitting at tables because there's not enough room in our classroom because they're so small. Like I said, I've never spoken to this many people at once. This is kind of nervous. Also, I noticed one more other thing at the high school and at Yakus is we don't have textbooks that are up to date. I mean, the different bills and laws and all of that, the government stuff that's going on right now, things are changing, like constantly changing, and everything is like, one day they'll have a bill saying that you have to be 21 to drink, and then the next day it's 18, so everything's changing. And if we don't have textbooks that are up to date that we can work on, how are we going to know? How are you going to know what different people do if everything's changing. And then, of course, you have the internet. But we don't have enough computers for an entire class to sit at the computers and to learn. So I don't know the actual technical numbers for everything that's on this bill, and I don't know how much money every student needs. All I know is that I think that the extra money that we, if we could get, I think that it would help us a lot, because it's helped me to have smaller classes, and it's helped me to be able to use the resources that are around me. But without the resources, how can I be president if I don't know what the president does? So, I mean, it's just, you have to be able to know these things. If I have a textbook from 1987, obviously things have changed. So I just wanted to tell you guys what I thought and put it out there. So I guess I'm done.
Well, thank you for your testimony. You did a very good job. Just curious, since you're at the alternative school, what size is your classes?
Our classes?
I mean, your government class, for example.
My government class, I think it's, don't quote these numbers, but it's about, I think, 15 to 20 students just in our classes. We try to keep them smaller, so there's about 15, I think, in my government class.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what you try to do in alternative classes, try to keep the class size down, yeah.
Yeah.
You did a very good job.
So thank you.
Thank you for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay, we're now going to go teleconference. We're going to leave beautiful Juneau here and go to an even more beautiful city, Anchorage. Had to throw that in. Tim Steele with the Anchorage School Board. Are you with us, Tim?
I am. Are you ready?
We're ready, sir.
All right. I am Tim Steele. I'm president of the school board, Anchorage School District, and I want to thank you for allowing me to testify today and for receiving school board members from around the state earlier this week. There are, as you know, a lot of numbers floating around, and they range from about 4,880 up to 5,300 and beyond. And it is appropriate that there are a lot of numbers because school districts around the state face different challenges and are in different positions. The budget adopted by the Anchorage School Board on February 2nd was developed using the governor's November 4880 proposal. And that budget still required us to cut $10 million from the budget in order to come up with a balanced budget. Using the governor's numbers allowed us to minimize those cuts, and if we had used the current funding levels, we would have required a $29 million cut. So we do appreciate the governor's getting out front with an early proposal. In order to make that $10 million cut, we did increase student class size. We eliminated 20 FTE. We eliminated three principal positions, principal and assistant principal position. We reduced department supply accounts, pupil supply accounts, equipment allocation accounts by 10%. Eliminated one director level position and two ROTC instructor positions and a number of other programmatic reductions. The number required for the Anchorage School District to break even or level funding is 50-27, and that equates to about $93 million increase in the formula. After literally hours, probably about 2 hours of debate, our school board passed a resolution requesting a funding level of 51-20. It was felt that if there were ever a year that education across the state could make some funding progress, this was the year. We in the Anchorage School District are very well organized, and we're making significant progress. We want to reduce class size, not increase it. We want to provide enrichment summer school, not just remediation or makeup courses. We want to continue progress towards making our student data information system a reality, to be able to make timely, individual, student growth, data-driven decisions. And to achieve AYP as mandated by No Child Left Behind. Please consider this year a funding level that will allow districts across the state to improve the quality of education our students are currently receiving. Please, make Alaska's children your number one priority. An investment, in this case, of 5120, is an investment in the development of our most precious natural resource, our children. Thank you.
Tim, thank you for your testimony, and it was good to have you guys down here last week.
Sure appreciate the hospitality.
Okay, good. Okay, now we're going to go to Kenai, to Melody Douglas, the Kenai Peninsula School District. Melody, there.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm Melody Douglas. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Kenai School District, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee today. We're very supportive and appreciative of the governor's proposal and certainly what is coming forward under the committee substitute for House Bill 1 out of Hess. I'm very encouraged to hear what the support K-12 funding expressed by legislators so far this year. Last year's increase set the stage for addressing educational needs statewide, and it was a beginning toward reversing class size increases and other drastic reductions made over the years, particularly for the Kenai School District. It is essential that last year's start continue in a strategic manner. I believe Mr. Rose addressed this in his comments earlier, and I support those. Systematic annual increases will allow districts to begin recovering from inflationary costs, increases in utility, insurance, and employee benefit costs, in addition to structured increases. Our preliminary budget this year addressed a modest increase in our K-12 staffing formulas and, of course, to address the PERS and TERS issue that is encountered by all districts and other public entities statewide. Other than that, we're basically going forward with a programs as is in the district. And I would just remind folks that just a very couple of years ago, we reduced our classroom instructional staff by 10% due to funding issues and declining enrollment in our particular district. And so I very much want to convey the need for additional funding above the 4919 represented in House Bill 1, although we're appreciative of that number. Legislative priorities approved by our Board of Education are a need indicating 5200 on the base student allocation. I would just like to conclude that we must be able to target instructional needs to protect the investment of our future, the children of Alaska, and we need to be able to affect the classroom and get beyond operational needs such as insurance and utilities and PERS and TERS. We need to get to the classroom, and your help in that vein would be very much appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Melody. Melody, too, I was just given a note here by the finance aide. That if you do have a written testimony, or anybody who testifies on teleconference, if you have written testimony, you can fax it to us. Am I supposed to give the fax number? Okay, the fax number is 465-6814.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, now we're going to go to the Mat-Su School District. Kim Floyd.
Second largest in the state, I think.
Second largest in the state. Okay, well represented here.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon, and thank you for your early focus on education funding. If I may, a special hello to Mat-Su Representatives Carl Gatto and Bill Stoltz. It's nice to know that you're both in attendance this afternoon. I appreciate that. Mat-Su Borough School District does support additional increases to the proposed base student allocation. Our school board, in line with our partnership with AASB, did pass a resolution asking that the base for the base student allocation be $49.95. With that being said, I think it's very important to recognize the increase that was given last year. It was a significant contribution, and that funding allowed us to accomplish great things. As Carl Rose indicated during his testimony, we do hope that there will be a continued effort to keep funding on an upward trend because it is making a difference. There are many differences in each district's needs, and that fact should not be overshadowed by the fact that we're all working toward improving the quality of the education for every child in our state. Mat-Su needs are different in that we're averaging an annual enrollment growth of between 450 and 500 students. That's roughly one elementary school population per year. We're expecting 15,559 students to enroll next year. That's an increase of about 600. In the face of limited class space and overcrowded schools, additional funding is critical to our district to ensure we're able to mitigate problems created by our rapid growth, and so that the quality of our students' learning opportunities are improved, not diminished. This will require, we think, an expansion of the time spent in our buildings. This could include before and after school classes, and as Anchorage indicated, more meaningful expansion of summer offerings. We also wish to focus on restoring funding for teaching supplies and textbooks, and parents expect that their children will have books for every subject taught, that the school will have a stable supply of instruction materials, that we won't run out of paper before the end of the school year, for example. We are really focusing on continuing our professional development, our classroom assessments, and our curriculum alignment. It's been a huge effort in our district over the past 2 years. These are key ingredients to ensuring our students are on track to exceed state standards and that they can seamlessly transition to post-secondary education or become productive members of Alaska's workforce. And we truly feel that a vote for an increase in education funding is a vote of confidence in our state and in our future for all of our children. And I just really appreciate the opportunity, again, to address you this afternoon.
Okay, thank you, Kim, for your testimony. Question? Representative Gatto.
Yeah, thanks. Kim, this is Representative Gatto. Just a quick one. How many portables do you anticipate will be in use for the next year?
We have 52 currently in use right now. We believe that we need an additional 23, so 75 portables total, with an average class load at about 26 to 1, so 26 students per portable.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, also in the Mat-Su, we have Kathy Summers.
Good afternoon, members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Kathy Summers, and I serve as president of the Mat-Su Education Association, representing over 1,000 educators. First, we'd like to recognize the hard work of the legislature, and we'd also like to say we appreciate the funding increase to the base student allocation from last year. It's clear that the Mat-Su is in a unique position with the student population growth on an annual basis. We are growing faster than we can provide space. A definite priority for the Mat-Su borough will be to provide a debt service mechanism to fund buildings. That being said, we still have needs for increased funding. More students require more resources. Our teachers need textbooks to provide for the students, math consumables, additional paper, and additional teaching supplies, just to name a few. We also have library needs. We could also use this money to help expand our class offerings for our high school and middle school students through a summer school program or perhaps after school program. We could provide remediation for students who are struggling to meet the benchmarks. We also have a new Alaska history course that will be required, which again will require a new textbook. The Mat-Su has a successful correspondence and homeschool program in which we have students who make use of elective classes in our brick-and-mortar schools. Our teachers are doing the best they can to increase student achievement, but we do need the materials, we need more classes, and the time to have those would be when we have time in our buildings and they're not being used for the regular student day. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate all the hard work.
Okay, Kathy, thank you for your testimony. Don't see any questions. So let's go ahead and go to Ann
Kilkenny.
Thank you. Representative Stoltz, help me on your last name there. Ann, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you. My name is Ann Kilkenny. I live in Wasilla. I'm not a lobbyist or a school district employee. I'm just a parent and a concerned community member. I'm here to ask you to amend CSHB to 5,120. I'm not going to repeat the testimony I've given to other committees or repeat what I have written to you. However, I would like to take just a few minutes of your time to offer you a short parable that I hope will help you see this issue from a different perspective. It's titled, Oliver Wants More. 9-year-old Oliver was a resident in the parish workhouse where the boys were issued 3 meals of thin gruel a day with an onion twice a week and half a roll on Sundays. At meals, the boys would sit staring at the serving bowl with such eager eyes as if they could have devoured the very material of which it was composed, employing themselves, meanwhile, in sucking their fingers most assiduously with the view of catching up any stray splashes of gruel that might have been cast thereon. Boys generally have excellent appetites. Oliver Twist and his companions had suffered the tortures of slow starvation for 3 months. At last, they got so voracious and wild with hunger that one boy, who was tall for his age and hadn't been used to that sort of thing, hinted darkly to his companions that unless he had another basin of gruel per day, he was afraid he might, some night, happen to eat the boy who slept next to him, who happened to be a weakly youth of tender age. He had a wild, hungry eye, and the other boys implicitly believed him. A council was held. Lots were cast for who should walk up to the master after supper that evening and ask for more. And it fell to Oliver Twist. The evening arrived, the gruel was served out, and a long grace was said over the commons. The gruel disappeared. The boys whispered to each other and winked at Oliver, while his next neighbors nudged him. Child as he was desperate with hunger and reckless with misery. He rose from the table and, advancing to the master, basin and spool in hand, said, somewhat alarmed at his own temerity, "Please, sir, I want some more." The master was a fat, healthy man, but he turned very pale. He gazed in stupefied astonishment on the small rebel for some seconds, and then clung for support to the serving bowl. The assistants were paralyzed with wonder, the boys with fear. "What? What?" said the master at length in a faint voice. "Please, sir," replied Oliver, "I want some more." The master shrieked aloud for the beetle. The board were sitting in solemn conclave when Mr. Bumble rushed into the room in great excitement and, addressing the gentleman in the high chair, said, "Mr. Limpkins, I beg your pardon, sir, but Oliver Twist has asked for more." There was a general start. Horror was depicted on every countenance. "For more?" said Mr. Limpkins. "Compose yourself, Bumble, and answer me distinctly. Do I understand that he asked for more after he had eaten the supper allotted by the dietary?" "He did, sir," replied Bumble. "I'll end the story here. Did he move the people in power in his day to enact legislation that radically improved the lives of children? I hope these words will move you, too, to do the same. Like Oliver, it has fallen on me to speak for all the kids. And like Oliver, I ask for more. Not out of greed, but out of need. We want an end starvation funding for education. We want students to get an education that will enable them to fully actualize their potential. There would have been no child left behind mandate if a status quo education was adequate and acceptable. There would be no lawsuits, no threats to the legislature's ability to control its budget if funding was adequate. We want an increase in the BSA to 5,120. Please respond compassionately to our request for more. Thank you."
All right. And that was indeed a unique and enlightening testimony. Appreciate that. In fact, Representative Weirich was hoping you might have some more to tell us. Representative Weirich, did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to break for lunch.
All right.
It's funny.
Okay. We'll go on now to, thank you, Ann.
Actually, no, oh. Mr. Chairman, I do appreciate her email. She's very diligent about sending emails, and we read them, Ann.
Okay.
Thank you. I read them.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Representative Barbara. Okay, we'll go on now to Kay Andrews. See, I don't know where, is Kay in Sitka? Where are you, Kay?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I had to compose myself after that testimony.
Yeah, it's hard to follow, isn't
it? Yes, it is. Thank you for being having me being allowed to testify for you before today. My name is Kay Gorman Andrews. I'm a parent and a school board member of Southwest Region School District. We are a rural education attendance area and a member of the Association of Alaska School Boards. We support the base student allocation at 4995 as only a starting point to meet some of the costs our district and others face. The needs are much greater than that number of 4995. We not only face higher costs wholly, but the federal unfunded mandates have especially impacted schools in the areas of special education, counseling, tutoring, and teaching. In the rural areas, we are faced with extraordinary costs for heating fuel, gasoline, freight, and other basic costs just to keep the school doors open and operating. The IHRSA report on the area cost differential study has not yet been released and should show the higher costs I referenced, but still not cover the needs across the state in all areas. I was pleased to see the 4919 number in the committee substitute for House Bill 1, but was somewhat disappointed that the amendment failed to increase that number to 5,026. Nonetheless, you can change that number to meet the higher costs associated with years of underfunding and the federally imposed mandates there in the House Committee, Finance Committee. I urge your support of a higher student-based allocation number so that school districts across the state of Alaska can meet the state standards and federal mandates we must address. By increasing the number, you are ensuring that our children receive the education they are entitled to and deserve. And I just want to thank you for your thank you very much for your support and your work on behalf of the children in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your testimony, Kay. We're going to take one more teleconference from Kenai, and then we're going to come back here to Juno. So let's see. Looks like we have Margaret Gilman. Sorry. Or do we have Margaret?
Yes, this is Margaret Gilman. Thank you very much, Chairman, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon. Here. I am a member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education, and I'm speaking to you today, more importantly, as a mother of four children in the public schools in the Kenai. Mrs. Douglas pointed out that the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District did pass a legislative priority asking for $5,200 for the base student allocation. That would give us a what I would call a modest rebuild to try to make up for the major cuts that we had to make. 3 years ago, as Ms. Douglas pointed out, we had to reduce 10% of the teaching staff in our district. And what that did, at the moment, our district currently has 20 K-6 classes that have class sizes of 30 children or more. In addition to that, the district has 108 classes at the grade 7 through 12 level of 30 students or more. And that number excludes any music or PE classes. So when we talk about 7th through 12th grade classes of 30 or more, that is strictly the math, English, science, and social studies classes. This is a tremendous shame to do to those children, because at the time that we are stacking their classes, we are also requiring that they pass the high school graduation and exam, and students are having difficulty with that. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that when we reduced the staff by 10%, it did increase the number of actual students in the classroom, but the other thing that it does is reduces the number of programs that our schools are able to offer. At the secondary level, when you reduce the teaching staff, you reduce the, some people would call them extra classes. I call them part of the mandatory curriculum, the foreign language, the advanced placement classes, the advanced placement math and English and science and social studies. Those are all classes that are necessary for a child's education and are necessary in order to encourage people to attend the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. The last thing I would leave you with is that when the board voted at the February 7th meeting that what we needed was 5,200 in the base student allocation, one of the things that would be accomplished with that level of funding, the district is very interested in using technology to deliver our advanced classes in the remote site. We have four schools that are not on the road system. We have definitely remote sites in our district, and we need to be able to use technology so that the students in those schools also have the opportunity to take advanced placement English or to take a French class. Before the legislative session began, there was an editorial in one of the papers about what would the legacy be that this group of legislators left with the money that's been received via the oil revenue. And the editorial was pointing out, you know, maybe it will be a new building. I would like to point out that I think truly the best legacy that this committee and this legislature could leave is truly funding education at the level that the students of the state of Alaska need. That would be a tremendous legacy, and I just really appreciate the work that your committee is doing and ask for the $5,200 in the base student allocation. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for that testimony. Seeing no questions, we will now go back to Juneau to Lillian Worrell. This is here, Akbe, is that correct?
Yes.
Akbe Elementary. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is this close enough? I tend to be kind of shorter. Like, close enough?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Representative Chenault, and Co-Chair Representative Meyer, and fellow House Finance Committee members. My name is Lillian Melissa Worrell. I live at 9159 Wolfram Way, Juneau. I come as a representative of Off Bay Elementary Site Council, as a member of Alaska Kids Count, and as a concerned parent of two children who attend Off Bay. I am honored to be here before you today to speak to an issue that is very important to me, education. I recognize that most of you are quite familiar with education, funding, foundation formulas. What I want to share with you is what I've been seeing in the classrooms over the last 4 years. For the last few years, I've been volunteering in the classroom in my daughter and son's class each week. I began volunteering initially to ease my child's transition into school. However, from the first day of school, I was truly overwhelmed at the high level of demand required of the teachers. To this day, I am impressed with how much the teachers are doing with their scarce resources. In these past years, in the efforts to meet the requirements of No Child Left Behind, I have helped the teachers with math assessments, working with small reading groups, walking between the tables and desks, helping the kids with their writing. I felt frustrated when I see how often one child who desperately needs help from a special education teacher can halt the class teaching as they act out their learning and behavioral frustrations. The teachers have no choice but to stop and help get that child's emotions under control while 23 or more children stand by and watch. It is frustrating to me because I know, with more resources, that child might get the help they need, and more students could progress at the rate they need to meet the high academic standards placed upon our teachers. I'm disappointed that I'm increasingly paying for public education through pushing my child's gift wrap sales, garden sales, art auctions, paying $2 here, $3 there, for buses for field trips. And also, while I'm juggling carpools to save gas on picking up my son from kindergarten, now that there are no longer school kinder buses, my two sisters don't have that option, and they must pay more of their limited income on Rally. Or worse, I worry about my nephew, who walks to school along a heavy traffic, snowy road in the dark because the sidewalks are not yet plowed, and he doesn't live more than 1.5 miles from his school, so he no longer gets picked up by a school bus. Can it really be expected for a 5-year-old or even a 10-year-old to do so safely? If you think so, remember Skylar Lee Kim. I'm sad that my aunt, who adopted a foster child, is not getting the help she needs to continue the tutoring that child needs to learn the core requirements for reading. You all have heard about crowded classrooms, torn textbooks, leaking roofs. What I'm seeing in the classrooms is more than just that. I'm seeing kids who are already struggling to succeed, never mind meet the core, as early as kindergarten and second grade. I'm concerned that if they're struggling now, will they make it to graduation or even to high school? I'm seeing families who make just enough money to pay their mortgage, food, and childcare, who do not have the extra money to pay for after-school programs like piano, dance, soccer. Those children are not getting the, quote, luxuries of art and sports, since those programs have long been cut back and schools to mere half-time positions. My kids get library, music, and gym on a rotating monthly basis in school. Is it enough? I don't think so. But fortunately, my family is able to supplement. But what about the at-risk and lower-income kids who could benefit and be motivated from music and sports and art, where perhaps the other academic areas are not? What I'm trying to say is your vote to increase funding is critical. It will provide much-needed special education specialists to help the students who need it most, reduce the class sizes, giving teachers a number of students they can manage more productively, provide classroom supplies outdated and worn, and possibly fund some of the basics we've cut from our schools over the years and have accepted as adequate. I'm here to say, as a parent and a school site council representative, our education funding is not acceptable and is not adequate. Thank you for your time.
All right. Question, Mr. Chairman.
Question. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Barbara. Lillian. Is your son a kindergartner then?
Yes, he is.
Is it K-1?
Yes, he is.
K-1 class, is it Miss Lillidale?
He's with Swingleberg.
And then your daughter?
Miss Moore.
Is it third grade?
She's second right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us share your concern because some of us have kids in 30-kid classes.
I know this.
Just curious, how many kids in the kindergarten class are at Off Bay?
It's fluctuating. Kids are dropping and picking up. Right now, it's at 23 kids. My daughter has 27 kids in her class.
Yeah, there's 26 at Harbor Views. And you know, we came down from Anchorage, and it was 24, 25 up there. So it's statewide problem, the overcrowding. It's something we definitely need to deal with.
Chairman, we've been doing a lot of talking today, but just kindergarten. I thought piece of cake. Mr. Alcantara out there from the NEA took me to Butte and spent a day out there. I felt like a comedian with no material trying to start their attention in a kindergarten class. So I sure got an appreciation of it. It's not a babysitting job. So thanks for that opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Stoltz. Representative Holm has a question for you.
Well, I don't know if I have a question. I was just a comment. My wife taught kindergarten for 25 years, and she always said, you know, have you ever tried to... Well, she had 26 at one time, and she was just harried without a teacher's aid even. And she said, have you ever tried to wipe 26 noses at one time? Tie 26 pairs of shoes before they go out to recess. It's a major, major job.
Yes.
Indeed. Yes. Okay, thank you for your testimony, Lily.
Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. I have a copy of my statement, prepared statement. May I hand that to the secretary?
Yeah, Zola, take it right there.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Andre Dahl. Doyle? Dahl, excuse me. Give me a glass. Sorry. Dahl. Andre Dahl. Welcome.
It's my printing.
No, it's typed, so we can't blame it on the printing or anything. Just my eyes.
Okay, thank you. Andrea Dahl, I've been an educator most of my life, and I still volunteer and I work at the Johnson Youth Center. I substitute still at the various schools in the district here, and I also am a member of the Alaska Kids Camp. There are many motivators for keeping children at school, but certainly among them are courses that students find useful and applicable to their lives. Yet, with the current funding proposal that has barely replaces the status quo, school districts cannot afford replacing textbooks, much less implement creative curriculum like vocational courses, or fund the very basics of our civilization, which is art and music. The other day, I was substituting at a local middle school. A couple of the students that were 12 years old were totally disengaged, bored to death, playing at their seats. And I was looking at them and thinking about the dropout rate here at the schools. And I looked at these kids and I thought, I wonder if they're going to be the potential dropouts. So I said to one of them, who was leaning back in his chair and totally not paying attention, and I said, are you going to be a dropout? And he said, I can't wait to get out. Well, looking at the dropout rates, we have to look at a study that I have just recently been given by the U.S. Department of Education, 2004. According to this study, 40% of all the inmates in prison nationwide were high school dropouts. 40%. Now, it costs our taxpayers $30,000 to $40,000 a year to maintain one individual in prison. Alaska has approximately 5,000 people in prison. 40% means 2,000 are high school dropouts. Now you multiply that 2,000 by the lower number of 30,000, and we have $60 million each year. Now I understand that there's other reasons why people go to jail besides dropping out of school, but certainly there has been a correlation. And there has been a correlation between failure in school and the way it relates to drug abuse, crime, physical abuse, work failure, and poverty. One of the other things that I look at when I think about schools, I look at one of the main things that we try to accomplish in school, and that is teaching people to read. And illiteracy is, of course, a huge factor. And I would like to just read from something that I have been given. It was called Testimonies to Congress by G. Reed Lyon, prepared for Center for Development and Learning. And I'm just going to read this to you, just a couple sentences. It said, surveys of adolescents and young adults with criminal records indicate that at least half have reading difficulties. And in some states, the size of prisons a decade in the future is predicted by fourth grade reading failure rates. I was told by this individual that people, when they think about where they're going to be placing their prisons, actually look at reading failure rates to see where those prisons could be placed. Approximately half of children and adolescents with history of substance abuse have reading problems. Now we're talking about money. We're talking about money that is placed in the very beginning in the potential of our young children, investing with that potential, or taking money at the other end of it and keeping them in prisons at $30,000 to $40,000 a year. I'm asking for this committee to consider the 5120 as a base student allocation and to think strongly about the future of our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Andre, for that testimony. See, no questions or comments. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your contributions to the education system. And okay, let's see. John Alcantara. Wonder who this guy is. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Chairman Meyer.
Good afternoon, Chairman Meyer, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Alcantara. I serve as Government Relations Director for more than 12,500 public school employees of NEA Alaska. I'd like to thank Representative Gatto, Representative Chenault, and several others that are co-sponsors of House Bill 1, and I'll keep my comments to the base student allocation bill, realizing that HB 30 and 1 are going together. I guess today you've heard from students, parents, and school districts kind of all advocating for figures in the base student allocation. I guess it's to point out that the reason the numbers vary is because the specific needs, the pupil needs for each district vary. Many are attempting to reduce large class sizes. Others cite the need for intervention programs and other programs to help Alaska's children. And while the numbers and the needs vary, I think the reasoning behind the numbers is very similar. The reasoning is, and the solution needs to be, what will it take to meet Alaska's constitutional mandate to establish and maintain a public education system that's open to all? Last year, the 23rd Alaska Legislature passed a K-12 increase in the BSA of $407 per student. NEA Alaska applauds and sincerely appreciates that historical effort from last session. Alaskans also realized that there were 20 years of flat funding for K-12 education from 1983 to 2002. Did not keep pace with inflation, and during that time frame, inflation ate away 47% of the student dollar. Former Senator Rick Halford was fond of saying, when you're trying to get out of a hole, stop digging. And last year, the legislature quit digging, actually 2 years ago. And last year, you started in the effort to start backfilling that hole. And this year, our members and parents and teachers and grandparents across the state are confident that the resources are available to continue addressing K-12 funding needs. I know all of you gentlemen that serve in this finance committee. Over half of you have graduated from Alaska's public schools. The ones that came up here as young adults know because they visited the schools, they have children in the schools. You guys have seen the needs, and you know the needs, and your task is a difficult one in balancing the needs against the other constitutional mandates and the other needs of Alaska. But I guess to get to the number and prepare for a little bit of the sticker shock is that NEA Alaska is advocating for a base student allocation increase of $739 per student, bringing the number to 5,315. This is about almost $148 million increase overall and about $78 million more than currently in CSHB 1 HESS, which is about a $70 million increase. This addresses the TERS and PERS, it addresses inflation, and I guess more importantly, it begins to make a down payment to achieve adequacy. We have the standards in place at the state level. We have No Child Left Behind standards in place. And I think this extra investment in Alaska's public schools will start us on the road to providing an adequate education for the 133,000 students that attend Alaska's K-12 public schools. So I think with that, like you said, you know who I am. You know I'm around to answer questions at least on every other week basis, and I'm prepared to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Quickly. Sure. Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Alcantara, we have a question from Representative Stoltz.
Chairman Meyer, thanks. Mr. Alcantara, got a couple of former school board members on here, but we had a lot. You're a political operative with the NEA, as I understand it.
A government relations director, through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Stoltz.
A lot of school board members ran and with real pro education platforms. A lot of them got trounced. What's your analysis of that phenomenon?
My analysis of that phenomenon through the chair.
I would
answer that. A lot of them had to run up against incumbents, and as you probably know, sir, being a returner yourself, that
34 out of 34 incumbents returned from the general election. So I think a lot of that returning of 100% in the general election had to do with the historical $82 million increase for Alaska's public schools.
What a politician.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we have a question. Representative Weirock.
Thanks, John. Is it 5318 or 5315?
Through the chair, Representative Weirock, it's 5315. $739 increase from the $45.76 that exists now.
And that includes a purser's contribution of what lump sum?
The chair, excuse me?
What lump sum PERS and TERS contribution did you say that would include?
Well, PERS and TERS in the formula equates, using the governor's number, which I'm comfortable using the administration's number through the chair, is a BSA increase of $193, which equates to the $38.6
million. Okay.
You know, you might have to give a take a dollar or two in that amount, but I think that's a fairly comfort zone number if the TERS PERS number is $38.6 million. Which we have no reason to doubt the governor's number.
Okay. Thank you, John. You've got the high number so far. We've got a range of the current 70 million to 85, 112, 93, now 148. So very good. Let's see. Thank you, Mr. Alcantara. Catherine Verdon. Catherine, you want to bring your helper? Yeah, he sure is a well-behaved boy.
I was pleasantly surprised. My name is Catherine Reardon, and I'm a resident of Juneau, and I'm a homemaker. And I'm here to thank you for last year's increase in funding, both in two areas, in the base student allocation and also in the small charter school grant line in the operating budget. I'm here to support the Alaska Kids Count figure because I believe that that's what's necessary to start bringing more teachers into the classroom, and the majority of school budgets is for staff, as it should be. And I think that as a parent, that's really what makes a difference. I have a 5-year-old who'll be heading for kindergarten, and I have a 7-year-old who's in first grade, and so most of my experience is with primary school and very beginning, and those kids come into kindergarten and first grade pretty happy, pretty enthusiastic about school. They haven't gotten bored. They haven't started to believe that school's not for them yet. And I think that having a small enough pupil-teacher ratio that teachers can really engage with each child at the beginning. Make them feel successful and make them feel individually important is really essential. You know, I fear that when I have a child in third or fourth grade, I'll start seeing some of her companions tuned out, feeling already unsuccessful, and that then recovering those kids is going to be really hard farther on. So I support funding at a level that can get more teachers into those classrooms, be it art teachers or the standard classroom teachers. I'd also like to take this chance to talk about another funding issue, which is not an Alaska Kids Count issue, but my own, but to ask you to consider addressing it as you address the base student allocation in these bills, and that is funding for small public charter schools. One of my children is in a charter school here in Juneau, and I've really appreciated that opportunity to have a lot of parental involvement and a feeling of choice and ownership of the school. I think that the charter school options can set up schools that are good for different learning styles and also empower parents in an important way. And in the same AS 1417 that you're dealing with now in the base student allocation is language that has the effect of saying that charter schools with fewer than 150 students will be funded at the basically the high school rate, and not just the high school rate but the high school marginal rate, which means that these smaller charter schools are funded generally at the least money, at 84% of the base student allocation, which is the lowest of any schools in the state. And it quite honestly makes those schools financially not viable, thus making it difficult for smaller communities to have charter schools or to have charter schools that might address particular needs or desires that there wouldn't be 150 children in a community that could benefit from. So I would also ask you to consider this issue and to consider simply putting language in that charter schools with fewer than 150 children would be funded at the 1.17 adjusted student count for each child they have. This would not, in my mind, create an incentive to set up a lot of small, expensive schools. It would still require efficient schools because that's the rate of a 400-child school in our state, 1.17 per child when you do the adjusted student count. And yet it would allow the charter school option to be a real one for smaller communities and for more different innovations. I believe that would cost between $700,000 and $800,000 a year. The legislature put in a small charter school grant last year, but it was a one-time grant, which is very appreciated. But I'd ask you now, as you are with the base student allocation, to go forward and fix that problem for the future as well. And so thank you for caring about the funding level and the education of all children, number one. That's my bottom line concern. And also for considering addressing the small charter school issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Representative Croft has a question.
Catherine, where in the bills, which bill is that charter school?
It's not. Through the chair, it's not.
Is it in the budget somewhere? Is it in? It's just in the general law, the foundation formula itself.
Yes, through the chair.
Okay,
yes.
We can talk later about it. Thank you.
Representative Wire.
Thank you, Mr. Reardon. I just wanted to thank this committee last year for inserting that grant.
Mm-hmm.
It helped a lot, I think, all over the state, and that's who Southeast Kenai know.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, in fact, I think we did that during the budget process. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
There's the man.
Yeah.
Representative Wire did that. Okay, thank you, Catherine. All right, John Rester.
Midnight Sun and Big Lake.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't bring any prepared remarks. I'm a local ear, nose, and throat doctor here in Juneau, and I'm representing myself, and I just have a short story. And my point is, I think we're just losing a lot of good families and a lot of good workers, and a lot of the reason might be education. That's not only the kids that are, you know, we have about a 40% dropout rate, 30 to 40%, and then we have some kids that are going away to boarding schools. But there might be families that aren't moving to Alaska because of our education system, or there might be families that are moving away, and we have no way of knowing who those people are. I was almost one of them, because our school had a slight oversupply of teachers and a slight undersupply of students, and so my daughter, who's in fourth grade, had 19 kids in her class, and we thought, that's the best ever. In the 10 years I've been in Juneau, we were very happy, because some of the kids can be difficult, and but then, unfortunately, the school down the street had 30 kids in their fourth grade class, and you've heard that a lot today. And so they got our teacher, and so we had to distribute those kids, and it went up to 27. And we had to decide, now what do we do? And so we thought about moving and looked at moving, and we decided we'll just homeschool our daughter. And so we took her out of the school system. We homeschool her in the morning, and that is harder than you think, for reading, writing, and math, and then she goes to school in the afternoon. And so my point is, we decided to stick it out, and I think the problem is mainly the pupil-teacher ratio. That seems to be the central theme. Over the 10 years that we've been here, I've been the representative for our budget council that goes to meet with the school district, and it seems like every 2 years, it just has to creep up a little bit and a little bit more. And so that is a very good gauge as to how we're doing. And probably our graduation rate. You know, we're in the 43rd or 44th, according to the Google search, in terms of our graduation rate from high school of the 51 states and District of Columbia. So those would be good benchmarks. It must be hard to throw money at things and not have a measurable response. But if there would be one measurable response, I think pupil-teacher ratio would be the one good thing, so that we can increase our education and hopefully keep, you know, good families and good workers here in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Good question.
Representative
Dr. Esther, thank you for your testimony. Sarah did submit an email that was very good, so that's part of the record.
Oh, thank you very much.
Anybody have any ailments they want to get some free advice? Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Okay, next is Brittany. Brittany Kasselder. Well, I'll let you say it again.
Kasselder. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm here representing myself and Alaska Kids Count and my three young children, young citizens who are ready to head into school and actually have been receiving an extremely quality education prior to preschool. So that's another issue I feel very strongly about, the power of what can happen up to kindergarten, and the power that continues to happen through kindergarten and through the remaining years of education. We've heard really powerful testimony today on the numbers and the issues and the symptoms and the decay that we see everywhere in public health and mental health, juvenile justice, dropout rates, youth violence. And I really believe that the decay that we see everywhere around us starts at a very young age and continues through education. And I won't go into more of the numbers, because I think everyone has spoken to that very well. I just wanted to speak to the opportunity and the power that is in this room to really make changes for the lives of children, and to just reiterate the fact that whatever the attention that we pay to schools directly corresponds to the health of our society. And I hope that everyone will take that into consideration in a very bipartisan way as this vote is taken today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Don't see any questions, so thank you very much. Actually, that concludes my list that I have. Now, some people may have come in after the list. If you want to testify, just please come on up and give us your name for the record.
Well, my name is Merle Thompson. I'm from the Sioux Sittna Valley. And through the chair, I think that I could probably address Mr. Stoltz's question to Mr. Alcantara. Had some of the incumbents' campaigns been as poorly funded as the schools, there might be different people sitting there. And at the expense of probably the accusation that this gentleman doth testify too much, I want to leave you with just one thought, one statistic. Alaska rates 50th in the nation of the percentage of the budget, state budget, that goes to education. And I guess if you want to look at the bright side of that, at least we know who's behind us. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your testimony. Yes, did you want to testify? Yes, please, come on up.
Thank you. I was moved to testify today because I'm on the Juneau School Board. My name is Andy Story, and I'm a member of the board, and I'm also a mother of two children in Alaska Public Schools, and I'm a member of Alaska Kids Count. And I was really wishing my board would have been here today to hear the testimony, because it will help us. We're in the budget process now of deciding what to do, and we are really an important team, what you appropriate and what we go out and look at our budgets. And it's really hard, because right now in the budget that we're doing, we're slated to, we reinstated some bus routes, and we're slated to cut those with the funding that the governor has. And we are slated to cut our three dropout counselors that we were able to get this year. And what I have, and I'm going to submit it for testimony, is the board went through from one of our site council meetings, and we have a listing of unmet critical needs list. And for every one of those dollars, like summer school, there is a dollar amount of how much the foundation formula would have to go up, like $14 for two more special education aides. These are needs that the sites have brought to us. But the most pressing need that Alaska Kids Count has brought to the school board is to lower class sizes. And it would take basically $1 million, which I think is $148 more an increment. But what that tells me, and what's most exciting, is it could go K through 2. It would follow board policy, which would be 20-1, and that would be such would really be a blessing, I believe, for all those kids and for their families, and really attract people to the system. We just had a meeting with the assembly, and we have 400 students from the Juneau Public Schools who are in the Galena homeschool program, and I wonder their reasons for choosing that. And some of them, when they hear the high class sizes and all the publicity we're getting about what they are, doesn't attract them to our system. And I just urge you today to accept a student-based allocation of 5,120 and help set us in the right direction. Thank you, and I'm going to get that piece of paper.
Okay, thank you. Are you going to submit that to the for the record? Is that what you're saying? Okay, very good. You just skipped a little end there. Okay, was there anyone else in the audience here that wanted to testify? Okay. How about anybody else online that we know of? Okay, we're going to go ahead and close the public testimony then on these two bills. It's not our intention to move this bill or even to come up with the dollar amount today. This is the Finance Committee, so as the bill moves from education to HESS, they didn't have to worry about the money. Unfortunately, we do. Before we can pass this on, we have to make sure we have an adequate amount to fund whatever amount we ultimately end up with. I'm not sure when we're going to take this up. We're going to actually visit Monday's holiday. Tuesday, we're going to visit Lemon Creek Correctional Center. So we'll see maybe how our education dollars could have been better used when we visit the correctional center. And then Wednesday and Thursday we'll be taking up the governor's supplemental bill. These are all the bills that were incurred last year that we have to find money for to fund first before we think about even coming up with money for next year. So those are just to give you some ideas, those are some of the steps that we have to go through here first before we can finalize how much we can fund education for next year. But certainly your testimony was very compelling, convincing, and thank you all for coming out. Representative Jewell.
Thank you. I recognize the public testimony is closed, with the chair be open to invited testimony at some point. Specific organization.
Yes, I think that would be appropriate. Representative Jewell, again, I'm not sure when we're going to get back to this. Could be a week, could be 2 weeks, so invited testimony would be
just
appropriate. Okay, very good. Okay, if there is anything else to come before the committee, we are not meeting tomorrow, and as I said, Monday's a holiday, so we will. And then Tuesday is the tour of Lemon Creek. We were invited by corrections to do that. That's totally optional. You don't need to do it unless you want to. And then our next finance meeting here will be Wednesday. Anything else that's coming for the committee? We're adjourned.